wonders flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will sing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me. World's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, for the stain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will sing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to sing, Lord, blessed be your name. Give and take away, give and take away. My heart will choose to sing, Lord, blessed be your name. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. That give and take away part, that's hard. We've got to trust in the Lord. Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. As your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I don't deserve it, don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. know you won't light a mountain, you won't climb up coming after me. There's a wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. There's a shadow you won't light a mountain, you won't climb up coming after me. There's a wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. You won't light up mountain, you won't climb up coming after me. There's a wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. There's a shadow you won't light up mountain, you won't climb up coming after me. There's a wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You love us anyway. Thank you for that. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice you made for us.
You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Your name is light, the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
Name is alive, the shadows can't deny. Your name will not be to me.
There is no other name in which we can trust. Ah, Father God, we are in awe this morning as we enter into your throne and as we enter into your presence, as we spend a few moments just worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. We are in awe of what you have done for us, what you have sacrificed for us, what you have provided for each and every one of us. Lord, far more than we could ever ask or imagine or think about, you have already taken care of. You are amazing, Lord, absolutely amazing. Hallelujah. You deserve every bit of praise this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, it's our privilege to be in your house, to lift up your name, to worship you. And I just pray, Father, that your spirit would be present in this place, that you would move and walk and flow among every aisle, every row, every chair in this place, even those watching, listening from home. Lord, minister to them today. Lord, speak to hearts and minds, encourage. Lord, bring peace, bring joy, bring love, bring it all to a surpassing understanding of anything we might imagine, Lord. Father, I think this morning of Heather Rios and ask that you would just continue to minister to her. Lord, touch her body. You know, Lord, what's going on there. You know every single need that she has. Far better than we do, far better than any doctor does. Lord, we lift her up to you this morning and we ask that you administer to her. Pray that you would speak to that flesh, take away that infection, take away that reaction. Lord, minister to her as only you can, as she needs to be, in Jesus' name. Lord, bring peace to Andy, bring peace to that household, encourage them, Father God. Let your hand be upon them today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, so many others still dealing with physical issues. Lord, I think of Sue White and pray that you continue to be with her in her rehab. Be with Faith as she continues to rebound from her sickness with COVID. Lord, continue to touch these individuals. Lord, be with Heidi as she continues to battle different physical ailments. Lord, touch and minister to her. Continue, Lord, to touch Kathy and heal her body in the name of Jesus. Lord, so many that need you, Father God. The list goes on and on of people that need encouragement, need healing, need emotional support. Lord, would you touch them? And Lord, of course, this morning we think of Armin and his whole family. Lord, what unexpected news this past week. Lord, we rejoice in the fact that Anne is with you and celebrating this morning. Lord, she's made perfect. Lord, how wonderful is that? But Lord, our hearts are heavy here, Lord, as we have to learn how to walk without her present. And I pray, Lord, for Armin. I pray, Lord, for Lori and Bev and the kids. I just pray that you would minister to them, Lord. I pray that you would encourage them and comfort them. Lord, that your peace would be poured out upon them. Lord, maybe as a way they've never experienced before, that your Holy Spirit would just come alongside them and hug them and encourage them and just be there over these next days and weeks and months, Lord God. Mother, again, we praise you. And we thank you for allowing us to be in your presence this morning. And we ask that everything that we continue to do this morning would be pleasing and honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. As an Assemblies of God church, we hold to the teaching of two ordinances within the church. Now, an ordinance in a church, in very simple terms, is kind of like a rule. or an action that takes place. It's something that is prescribed in Scripture. These are not rituals or traditions made up by the church or made up by any person, but rather direction given within Scripture. And again, we believe there are two very specific actions or ordinances within Scripture that we are told to practice. One of those is communion, sharing the Lord's Supper together, which we do from time to time. The other is baptism. And today we're going to focus in on that ordinance or that piece of things. What is baptism? Why do we believe that baptism should be done by immersion? Why do we think that's the biblical call when it comes to baptism? What does baptism represent? And who is it that should be baptized? Those are all things we're going to chat about this morning. So we're going to jump right into it. What is baptism? In the simplest, easiest explanation, baptism is the outward public declaration of our faith in Jesus Christ. We believe, according to Scripture, that baptism is a choice that we make after we have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And it publicly represents our new life in Him, as well as our participation in the death and resurrection of Jesus as our Savior. Of course, we always look to Scripture for examples of this. So let's take a peek here this morning. In the book of Acts, we read about a guy named Philip. We're going to be in Acts chapter 8 in just a minute. So if you want to flip there, you'll be able to follow along. But we read about this guy named Philip who heads to Samaria. Now, before we jump into that, let me give you just a tiny bit of background here, because we have to understand what's going on in the church during this particular time. There was this guy named Stephen, and Stephen was stoned to death because he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because he said, I believe Jesus is the Messiah. Because he said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Here is the proof that Jesus is who he says He is. Because Stephen preached that message, he was stoned to death. And at that time, the church was suffering from immense persecution. People were on top of them physically. They were just... It was a very difficult time in the church as far as persecution is concerned. So what happened during this time frame? Stephen was stoned to death. The church was being persecuted. And after Stephen's death, the church scattered. They ran away, so to speak. They left the area where they were and they spread out to all the neighboring towns, all the neighboring cities. Now, at first, that might sound horrible. There's all this persecution, and the church can't be together anymore. They're all splitting up and going their own ways. But God took that and said, here's what's going to happen. As these people go to these different towns, the gospel's going with them. So even though there was persecution, even though the church was scattered, the gospel message was spreading. It was being moved out to all these other locations. They took the message with them, and Philip was one of them. He took the message with him when he went to Samaria. And while he was there, Jesus used him to preach the gospel, to share the message. Let's look at this. Acts chapter 8. We'll start with verses 5 and 6. It says, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. Jump down to verse 12. When they believed, Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So look at that. When they believed, they were baptized. It was after they expressed that faith, after they expressed that belief in Jesus, that they chose baptism. Now, if we don't stop and think about this for a minute, we, as too often happens, we tend to just kind of keep right on going and run past all this, and we miss a few things. We miss out on how big of a deal this was. This wasn't just some simple little passing, oh yeah, they got baptized, great, let's move on. Remember what caused Philip to go to Samaria to begin with. The church was being persecuted. There was heartache and issue at this time. You know that guy that we talk about all the time, Paul? Well, you remember who Paul was? His name was Saul. And Saul made it his life mission to persecute the church before Christ got a hold of his life. And at this point in time, Saul was still Saul. He was still looking for a way to arrest people and to torture people and to persecute people because of their hope and belief in Jesus. So for people to believe in the gospel and to be baptized, this was a huge step on their part. See, when persecution happens, all of us instantly just want to run away, right? We don't want to deal with that. We're not going to stick around and say, oh yeah, beat me some more, please. It's our desire to get out of there as fast as we can. And yet, here was a group of people that said, no, not only do I believe in Jesus, I believe in him so much that even though there's a risk of what's going to happen to me, I'm going to stand up and proclaim it publicly. And I'm going to go through all of this publicly so that people know I love Jesus. See, we tend to think that this whole idea of baptism was a Christian or a church invention, so to speak. That we came up with this whole concept, or the church did somewhere along the line. But the truth is, Jews had been baptizing Gentile converts for a very long time, even during the time of Scripture. If a Gentile was going to convert to Judaism, then they had to go through a ritual process. This public ritual symbolized their willingness to convert to a new way of life. That's what it represented. That's what it meant. So baptism has long since represented a change in who we are, as well as a public declaration of a new belief system. So when these believers in Samaria believed in what Philip was saying and chose to be baptized, they were publicly declaring during a time of persecution that they believed in the gospel message of Jesus Christ. They were standing firm in something that they believed. One of the words we've used quite a bit already here this morning is this word public. Everything being done publicly. Baptism is a public thing. The ritual is a public thing. Is there any... Why is it always public? Why do we ever always talk about it being public? And I'm going to answer that this way. There is no evidence anywhere in Scripture that baptism is ever a private thing. If you look through Scripture, you won't find that so-and-so snuck away to be baptized privately. That's just not how Scripture reads. It's a public event, whether it's the Gentiles' conversion to Judaism or whether it's the Christians' trust in Christ. Baptism is a public declaration of that changed life that we have chosen. The greatest example, of course, of public baptism comes right from Jesus himself. At the very beginning of his public or earthly ministry, Jesus went down to the Jordan to be baptized by John. He didn't get a hold of John and say, John, come over to this house and, you know, baptize me here privately. He went to the Jordan where everybody was being baptized, and he went to John and said, this is the right thing to do. Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 13, when Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. So Jesus made, not only did he do it publicly, he made an issue of doing it publicly. This was the right thing to do. This is the way to do it. And of course, we know Jesus leads by example. He was baptized publicly for us, for all, as an example of how it should be done. Not only do we believe that baptism is a choice that takes place after we come to faith in Christ, we also say it is a public statement or a public declaration of our faith. Why do we believe that it's baptism by immersion? Why do we think that is the appropriate or proper way? Let's look at this for a few minutes this morning. To immerse means to cover completely, right? That's what immerse means. You're immersed in something. You're being covered completely by something. The word we use, baptism, that word comes from the Greek, and in the Greek, it's the word baptizo. Baptizo means, literally means, to submerge. So baptism, baptizo, is to submerge, right? Baptism in itself, in and of itself, that very word talks about immersion, talks about submersion, talks about it being done that particular way. We also read scripture like Matthew 3:16 that says when Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Well, how did he go up out of the water if he wasn't down in the water to begin with? You can't come out of it if you weren't in it, right? So he was in the water. There's another example we have, and this one goes back to Philip and back to Acts chapter 8. When he left Samaria, he was preaching and telling people, and they wanted to be baptized, and then he left. God had him travel along a very specific road to Gaza. Now, Philip didn't know it the moment that he set out, I'm sure, but along that road, he met a gentleman. He met an Ethiopian eunuch. And they began to strike up a conversation and to talk about Scripture. The eunuch was reading, I believe it was from Isaiah that he was reading from as they went along, and they began to talk. And Philip got to share the good news of Jesus with this eunuch as they traveled along. And as they were going, they came across some water. Now this eunuch, who already believed in Jesus, said, stop, there's some water, I want to be baptized. And Philip's like, cool. So Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and the scripture clearly says they went in to the water to be baptized. Acts 8:38, the second part of that verse says, then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. They went down into the water. Philip didn't splash him with water. Philip didn't spray a little bit of water on him. Philip didn't dump water over his head. They went down into the water to be baptized. So we have the meaning of the word baptism itself, which is to submerge. We have scriptural reference to baptism by immersion with Jesus, the eunuch, others that have been baptized. And we have a connection to Jewish law regarding baptism. See, if a Jew became ritually clean or ritually defiled, as they would say, they would have to take part in a purification process. Now, Old Testament is filled with information. If this happens, you got to do this. If this happens, you got to do this. If this happens, you got to do this. Read it someday. It's all there. You can look at it yourselves. But there's always a purification element, a purification process in order to get back to where you were. That was part of their law. This particular purification process in the Jewish law and in their tradition is called the Tevilah. Tevilah. That's what it was called. This Tevilah is an act of immersion in a naturally sourced water pool called a mikvah. So it's like a giant in-ground bathtub with naturally sourced water. And this was part of their purification process. You can read about this in all kinds of Jewish literature, Jewish texts, Jewish history books. They'll talk about this purification process and the purity ritual that they would go through. Immersion in the mikvah would represent a change in their status regarding their purification personally in their life. They would go from being impure, go through the process to become once again pure in the eyes of their religious ceremonial standards. This would then allow them to participate once again in all of their religious rituals that they held in their community. Until they went through that process, they were not purified and could not be a part of their normal gatherings and everything else. Baptism was a symbol. It was a representation of that purification and a declaration by the individual saying, my life has been changed, my life has been purified, and they would be then again accepted into the community of believers within their group. What does baptism represent? We already know this purification ritual process. We know that it's all about a changed, purified life. But let's look at this just a little closer. You see, when the individual, when we go down underneath the water, immersed in the water, it's a representation of the death of our old selves, the death of our sinful life, our sinful nature, that defiled life we once used to live, that life that is captured by sin. When we come up out of the water, there's a representation there of new life, being washed clean in Jesus through his death and resurrection. There's new life. The old is gone, the new has come. There is symbolism in this. We are being set apart for the new way of life that we have chosen to walk in. Just like when a Jewish individual would go through their ritual, the symbolism of purification of an individual, same thing for us in baptism. They're symbolizing that new purification of our lives. And it's a public declaration, a public pronouncement of our redemption in Jesus. Baptism represents old and new. It represents death and life. It represents sinfulness and cleansing. All of those things come to pass through our practice of baptism. This is not, by the way, just an act or a motion that anybody would go through. Again, as a Jewish individual participated in this, it's very serious, as it should be for us. We don't just do this to go through the motion or because somebody else is pressing us to do it or to be a part of it. This is something that is extremely important, and it's absolutely meant to be a big deal. It's not just some simple little passing thing. You don't participate in baptism just for show. You don't participate in baptism just because, oh, that sounds like it would be a different fun thing to do, or I need to prove to somebody that, oh yeah, I'm the Christian I say I am, so I'm going to get baptized, that way they'll believe me. That's not the reason we go through the process of baptism. Again, baptism represents purification, a change in our life, and our heart's desire to be more and more like our Savior. To do what He gave us an example of doing. Being purified, being cleansed as He taught us to be. So who should be baptized? Again, on the surface, it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Who should be baptized? Every person that calls Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior should be baptized. Old or young, single or married, doesn't matter your status in any way. If you call Jesus your Lord, you should be baptized. If you have put your hope and your faith in Him as your Savior, that is the direction that you should go. Now, I got to tell you, I'm going to be very honest here this morning. I'm going to be very honest. This is a much different process than most all other mainline denominations will teach people. There are several other churches, several other religions that will baptize infants, thinking that somehow through that process the infant is then saved, or they'll baptize in different ways. But there is some very specific guidelines here that Scripture gives us, and we need to understand that. Nobody can be saved by baptism. That's a hard fact to hear sometimes, but it's truth. You cannot be saved by being baptized. You're baptized because you are saved. And that's an outward expression of your salvation. Scripture tells us, Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." If baptism allowed us to be saved, then we could say, I earned it, I did it, I went to it, I got baptized, therefore I took care of it. That's simply not the truth. And I want us to understand that. It's really important. A lot of us have been deceived over the years. A lot of us have been taught incorrectly over the years. I know it took me a while to wrap my head around that, given what my upbringing was, given what I was taught. I had to think through that whole process to understand that baptism does not guarantee my salvation. Putting my hope and trust and faith in Jesus Christ, asking Him to cleanse me and forgive my sins, that's where salvation comes, by grace, through faith. The order is also made clear by Jesus in Matthew chapter 28. Let me read verse 19 to you, familiar to many of us, I'm sure. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Did you catch the order of events there? Make disciples came first. Then baptize. Then teach. Baptism came after they were already made disciples, so to speak. Baptism is also not a requirement for salvation. If you are saved and you love the Lord and you never get baptized, you are still saved. If you've never gone through that process of baptism, it does not negate your salvation in any way. It's something we have been told to do in Scripture. Goes back to what we started out with this morning. It's an ordinance that comes from the Word of God. You should do this. You should participate together in communion, celebrating the Lord's Supper. You should be baptized. Scripture clearly spells those things out. But nowhere does it ever say, if you don't get baptized, it negates your trust in me. You are still saved. Baptism is not a requirement to be met in some way for salvation. It's an example to us. So who should be baptized? As I said, very simply, anyone that causes Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, should be baptized. Baptism is the outward public declaration of your faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is done by immersion in water, as the examples we've seen in Scripture. Baptism is the representation of a cleansed and purified new life. And baptism is for every believer in Jesus Christ. Some of us, perhaps sitting here this morning, perhaps some of us watching this morning, some of us have never taken that first step, which is to put our hope and our trust in Jesus as our Savior. Let me encourage you this morning. We all live this life for a period of time. And in the course of this life, we have a choice to make. We can trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior and ask Him to forgive our sins, or we can turn our back on Him. It's just that simple. There's no 3, 4, 5, there's no other choices. There's trust Jesus or abandon Jesus. Those are the two choices we have, every one of us have to make in the course of our life here on this earth. If you have not made that decision yet, that is the first step and the most important step to make. Trust Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. Doesn't matter how bad you think you've been or what horrible things you think you've committed in your life. Jesus loves you. And His desire is to forgive you and to invite you into His family, into His kingdom. I want you to know that no matter what, you will never, ever, 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 ever do anything that Jesus won't forgive. He will love you through it. He will encourage you, and He will be there to forgive you and accept you. So salvation is first and foremost. It's not a religious affiliation thing. It doesn't matter if you go to this church, that church, or the next church. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the single most important piece this morning. When we are in that right relationship with Jesus, and I believe that's where a vast majority of us are today, but when we are in that right relationship with Jesus, what we need to do is then be obedient to what He calls us to do. And one of the things He calls us to do is to be baptized. And I hope that I've illustrated with you this morning that baptism is done by immersion, by being set down under the water and rise up out of the water. So I would encourage you, if you are a believer in Jesus and you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior but have not been baptized, I would encourage you to take this next step in your walk with Christ. Call the office. Let us know that you're interested. If you have questions, we certainly can share. You can ask. We can share more with you. We're glad to talk to you, but this should be a next step once you've accepted Christ. And let me just throw this out there too, because so many people get hung up on this. Oh, pastor, it would be embarrassing. Why is it embarrassing? Why is it embarrassing to follow the Word of God? Why is it embarrassing to do what Jesus has taught us to do? Oh, well, you know, my hair, my makeup, my clothes, we have a million excuses. We do. We can chuckle about it, but you won't believe the excuses that I have heard, some along that line. And I'm not just talking about ladies. Men are just as bad. It's embarrassing, Pat. No, it's not embarrassing. There is joy in being obedient to Christ. There's joy and excitement in being obedient to what we have been taught to do through the Word of God. So get past this notion of being embarrassed. And if you want to be baptized, reach out to the office. We will certainly talk with you more about it. And next week you will have opportunity to do just that. Before I pray, I just want to say, if there is anybody here who has not accepted Christ as their Savior, again, that's step number one. And I encourage you to do that today. Not delay in that decision. Come see me after service. Come talk with Jody or Kathy or Pastor Brian or one of our elders. We will be glad to talk with you more and pray with you about being saved, putting your hope in Christ. Amen? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for all the instruction and direction that it is clearly laid out for us. Lord, I'm glad people don't have to take my word for it. I'm glad people don't have to believe what I say. I'm glad that it's written in your word for people to verify and look at and dig into this morning. And I pray that people would be open and obedient to what you have taught us, Lord. To what you have taught us. Not man's opinions, not man's thoughts, not man's rituals, but the Word of God. Lord, help us to listen and obey and mature in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Opportunity to share with the whole world, God, that we have put our faith.